I ask the Lord to really press in tonight to give us what He wants and what He had in heart to give to us to awaken to the next level of our walk with Him. And I was reminded that love is the key that transforms us from what we were to what we need to become. And I was made aware that our God has told us very clearly that His Son is a bridegroom, and we are the bride. Now, when a bride begins her work to prepare herself, she really takes time to put aside some of her old patterns and allows the new to come forward. And she's in love. Well, when a woman is in love, she hardly ever sees any problem with her new husband-to-be. Until they've been married about a year and a half. Then all of a sudden, her eyes start to change. Her awareness. I really love this guy? Where was I? Was I that blind? 20 years later, she's convinced she definitely was blind. I got news for you, she was. She could hardly see anything he ever did wrong. And I want to take you to 1 Corinthians, because that's where he told me to take you guys. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. But the last verse of verse 31 of chapter 12 says, earnestly desire and zealously captivate the greatest and best and the higher gift and the choicest graces. I'm using the Amplified. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far than the highest of them all. Love. And he goes on. If I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, Amplified, for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Verse 2. If I have prophetic powers, that is, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose and understand all secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so I can move mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, in parentheses, I am nothing, a useless nobody. That's pretty heavy. How many have met a few useless nobodies? Okay. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor and in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. That becomes pretty scary. And I don't mean fearful. I mean, could I miss the boat? Without grace, you will. Without changing your mind about yourself, you're going to miss. I could also tell you your bridegroom, his name is Jesus, right? He is literally the love flow of the Father visible in the earth with an earth suit on. And in verse 4 it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. I could say Jesus endures long. Your bridegroom endures long and is patient and kind. Love, or Jesus, never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. You've got a love in action when you see your bridegroom, and if he's getting ready to marry you and me, we better have love for each other. I should have heard several other amens, but I didn't. You're pondering and thinking about it, huh? Verse 5 said, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Woo-hoo! Really? Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Woo-hoo-hoo! Jesus was never conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Jesus was never rude, unmannerly, and did not act unbecomingly. And then the Amplified is real cool. Love, and in parentheses it says God loving us, God's love in us, God's love in me, does not insist on its own way or rights. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evils done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Woo-hoo. Okay, bride, get ready. Say, I'm not going to be conceited or arrogant or inflated with pride. I'm not going to be rude or unmannerly. Because I'm marrying the bridegroom. I will not act unbecomingly. Because God's love in me does not insist on my own rights. Or my own way. Or I am not self-seeking. I might have been touchy. I might have been fretful. I might have been resentful. But I'm changing. Because I need more love in me. As his bride to be. Take a deep breath. Said quite a bit there. You realize that, don't you? It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Woo-hoo. That takes the flesh for a ride, right? Try it on. Say, from now on, by God's grace, I will not take account of evil being done to me. And I will not pay attention to the suffered wrongs that I've endured year after year after year. That's my translation, by the way. In case you forgot, I have a soul just like you. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. I think you all can qualify for that one pretty well. Love bears up under anything. And everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes, its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening in the knees. That's Kim's version. Jesus never fails, and neither will I, because he's alive in me. Say it. Jesus never fails. Love never fails.
Love never fails.
Never fades out.
Never fades out.
Never becomes obsolete.
Never becomes
and never comes to an end. Hallelujah. There's hope for us. Amen. Verse 9 says, for our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecies and our teachings are fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and the imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. And it goes on about being a child, etc. But the very last part of verse 13 says, love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your greatest quest. Earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment, especially that you may prophesy. And you can check out the rest. But my purpose tonight was to remind you that Jesus is not going to be marrying a bride who's got attitude. And if we, let's say, feel sorry for ourselves, how many know we sometimes have attitude? Thank you. And that attitude's got to go. And the only way that it can go is out as you cry out for more love. And you know, I find that if you become a critic of everything you are and everything you do, love will not flow from you. Because you're going to expect everyone else in your life to be like you. Oh, I hit a button. Close your eyes right now. Say, if everyone else was like me, it might not be a comfortable place to be. Not with the old attitudes. But with the new love of Christ. They'll be happy to be with me. So I need your love, Lord. Flowing out of me. Towards myself first. It starts with me loving me like Jesus loves me. Unconditionally, without reservation. And he hardly sees anything I do wrong. So it's time to get a real cleansing of who I am in Christ. The real truth is, if I love myself with God's love, he's going to be bouncing out of me left and right. Pouring out love to everyone I meet. What a world that will be. Husbands will be transformed. Wives will be transformed. Children will be transformed. Parents will be transformed. Even grandparents will be changed. By the love of Christ Jesus, touching them and touching me. But it starts with me loving me the way I am, like Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we expect that love flow to come without free will choices on our part. And I believe that, in my experience, I had to make a very, very strong quality decision. That if I wanted to be changed, I needed to change all the legal aspects of my visions of myself. And I needed to see grace on every level. When I was praying for someone tonight, the Lord showed me that there was a mountain in front of them. And it's a mountain of mistakes. And they're constantly seeing those mistakes as a mountain in front of them. And I've got news for you. If you and I are seeing the mountain of mistakes that we see, and we do, what's our focus on? And we get depressed, overwhelmed, disgusted, unhappy, and we lose our joy. Amen? But if we see Jesus as the healer, and we see Him as our bridegroom preparing us, then the whole transformation takes place. Look at your neighbor, says, hope for you. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
God's love is in you.
God's love is in you.
And it's growing every day.
And it's growing.
And you're getting sweeter.
And you're getting sweeter.
I don't know how you can be sweeter than me, but you might. Come on.
I don't know how you can be sweeter than me, but you might.
So I'll trust God to show us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I got you. Now, how did it feel when you made that comment? How could you possibly be sweeter than me? How many found them grinding inside? Okay, you know why? Because you're proud of God's love in you, and the enemy says, ha, 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 whoa, I'm losing my job. Who's the enemy? Self. You don't blame it all on the devil. It's how we think about ourselves and how we respond about ourselves that makes the difference. And if we're full of love towards ourselves, the darkness has no options. It loses every battle. Share some hugs and some love with each other. And if you haven't given a smile to destiny, you better do your job now. She has done her work tonight. Amen? And amen. Yay!